Welcome on into the Wasatch Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Today's episode, we're going to be doing a recap of what happened in the Western and Eastern Conferences as far as the trade deadline. Today, we'll cover the Western Conference. This will not be exactly the same as a roundup. We're not going to spend like four or five minutes on each team. It's just going to be a quick recap of what they did and maybe the reason why they decided to go in that direction. So without any further ado, we'll get started with the Southwestern Division. We'll start with the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans actually made a pretty big deal. They ended up trading away Thomas Satoransky, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and Josh Hart. Josh Hart was the main piece of that deal going to Portland. Nikhil Alexander-Walker ended up in Utah, and Satoransky ended up in San Antonio. The Pelicans got back C.J. McCollum and Larry Nance. C.J. McCollum can immediately come in and be the starting shooting guard on this team, maybe starting point guard, depending on what they want to do with Devontae Graham. And then Larry Nance Jr. is just a really solid front court defender that has a little bit of offensive skills. So they're looking to set this team up around those, at least the top five guys, maybe a top six of McCollum, Ingram, Herbert Jones, Zion Williamson, and Valanciunas. And then, of course, they've got Nance and Devontae Graham still there. Next is the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies ended up not making a deal, but they have been on fire lately. They're number three in the West. And I think they just kind of felt that there wasn't any move big enough to make a big difference on the team, so it really wasn't worth it to mess with team chemistry. The Dallas Mavericks actually made probably the second biggest deal of the day. That McCollum trade is probably close, but the Mavericks actually sent Kristaps Porzingis to the Washington Wizards, which was a big deal. You know, we'd heard a little bit that Porzingis might be available, but it sounds like they were actually really trying to shop him away. In return, they got back Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. Bertans will mostly just be a bench replacement for Porzingis. Like, I think Kleba will get those starter minutes that Porzingis was getting, and then Bertans can be a guy that come off the bench, helps space the floor a little bit, is basically... He's a negative on the defensive end. He's a very bad defender, but he can still space the floor a little bit. And then Spencer Dinwiddie can come in and either be the sixth man, or he can move into the starting lineup and they can move Jalen Brunson back to that sixth man role. Just giving them another guy that can handle the ball, that can score, that can facilitate for teammates, is a decent defender. And one of the biggest things for Dallas with this is they get off of Porzingis' big contract, and now they have two more middle contracts that are easier to move in separate deals. The San Antonio Spurs actually were very active this trade season, and they're a team that almost never makes a deal at the trade deadline. Usually they do all of their stuff in the offseason. To start off with, a few weeks ago they sent Bryn Forbes to the Nuggets. In return from that trade, they end up getting Juan Hernan Gomez, who we'll talk about in just a second. And then they ended up sending Thaddeus Young to the Raptors, got back Goran Dragic and a first-round pick. That was mostly for the pick because they bought out Goran Dragic today. And then they were part of the Portland-Utah trade, ended up getting back Thomas Satoransky in that trade. He may also get bought out. I know they definitely don't see him as part of their future. And in that trade, they ended up sending Juan Hernan Gomez back out to the Jazz. And then finally in this division is the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, it looked like they were going to send out Eric Gordon to somebody, but it looks like they ended up deciding that nobody was giving them a good enough offer to convince them to not just keep Eric Gordon around, to be a mentor to the young guys, and still be a very productive player, and then maybe trade him, try and trade him again during the summer. But they did end up making one trade. They sent who did they send? Oh, it was they sent Daniel Tice to the Boston Celtics. In return, they got Dennis Schroeder, Enes Kanter, and Bruno Fernando. They ended up releasing Enes Kanter. Bruno Fernando, he's, you know, 23-year-old, very athletic, kind of undersized center. So I'm sure they'll just another guy to give an opportunity as they're rebuilding. And then Dennis Schroeder is a guy that can come off the bench, can be another ball handler on the team, can give them a little bit of a veteran presence, but Schroeder isn't known as really the most mature guy ever. And then they ended up sending away or releasing Enes Kanter, so he is now a free agent. So now we'll go ahead and move on to the Pacific Division. We'll go ahead and start with the Trailblazers first because we brought them up so many times. So as I said before, they ended up sending out CJ McCollum in a trade a couple days before that. They also sent out Larry Nance Jr. in the CJ McCollum trade. A couple days before that, they sent Norman Powell and Robert Covington to the Clippers, and we'll get to them in a bit, and got back Eric Bledsoe, Keon Johnson, and Justice Winslow. Now, Justice Winslow, with the injuries the Trailblazers have been dealing with, is actually starting at the power forward for them right now. And then Keon Johnson's just a really good young player. You know, he's still 19, maybe 20 at this point. Very, very athletic, really raw. So he's just a young prospect that they're going to take a chance on. And then they took on Eric Bledsoe. They may end up buying him out. I'm not sure yet. But they mostly brought him in because he has a very, very small guarantee next year. And so they're basically, it was just to get off of a lot of salary. And that's what the Trailblazers did a lot of, was try to get some picks and try to get off of a lot of salary so that they can focus this summer on rebuilding a completely different team around Damian Lillard and possibly Yusuf Nurkic. As I said before, they traded away CJ McCollum. In return in that trade, they got Josh Hart, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, and Tomas Satoransky. Again, they sent Satoransky to the Spurs, and they got and they sent Nickeil Alexander-Walker to the Jazz. In return for that, they got Joe Ingles, which is just a big expiring contract, and Elijah Hughes, who's a young player. He's on an expiring contract, but he's a pretty young player, good scoring wing that just couldn't get into the rotation with the Jazz, but we'll actually have an opportunity to get some playing time with this Trailblazers team. But as I said before, the Trailblazers are just trying to clean the slate and build this team in a different direction around Damian Lillard. Next, we'll go to the Sacramento Kings. So the Sacramento Kings actually made a pretty big deal, and I really don't think it was a smart trade that they ended up making. So they decided to actually trade away Tyrese Haliburton, who was really their only young prospect that looked promising in their group. You know, De'Aaron Fox has showed flashes, but he's also had a lot of struggles. And so it kind of seemed like if they were going to trade anybody, it would be De'Aaron Fox, that they could work things around Tyrese Haliburton. But they end up sending Haliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson to the Indiana Spurs. Indiana Pacers. In return, they got back Domantas Sabonis, which is the centerpiece of this deal, really. You know, it got them a big that can score, can rebound, can pass. He's basically a mini Nikola Jokic. They also took in Jeremy Lamb, who's a good, you know, off-the-bench scorer, and then Justin Holiday, who's a guy that can guard really the 1 through the 4. Very good defensive player, can knock down open threes. But trading Halliburton for Sabonis, I mean, they, it's risky. If they don't end up making the playoffs in this year or next year, after doing that deal, and then, you know, Halliburton goes on and becomes a star player for the Pacers, which he's already kind of looking like that so far through his first few games with them. But if, you know, if they don't end up making the playoffs with Sabonis and Fox as their lead, I kind of think that this is really going to be looked at as a very, very bad trade for the Kings. But who knows? I mean, Sabonis is a very good player. It's just this team is going to really struggle to defend. Fox is not a floor spacer at all. They really don't have much floor spacing around Fox and Sabonis now. So next, let's go to the Clippers. Like I said, they ended up getting Norman Powell and Robert Covington. And really, all they had to give up in this trade was Eric Bledsoe, who was kind of falling out of their rotation anyway. Keon Johnson, which that's kind of a big blow. He's, again, a very athletic young player. And then Justice Winslow, who was a guy that was at the very fringes of their rotation. And then a second-round pick. Like, nothing too big. But Norman Powell can come in, and right now with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard being out, he can basically be the number one option on the offensive end. He's still a pretty solid defender. And then when those two guys are back, that's a scary, you know, three-headed attack. And then Robert Covington is really solid team defender. Kind of fits what the Clippers have going with just a bunch of guys, you know, 6'6 to 6'9 that can defend multiple positions. He fits into that perfectly. And then they made another trade. This trade was mostly just to get off of salary for them. Oh, we got to go back to the Kings real quick after I talk about this trade. They sent out Serge Ibaka to the Bucks, ended up getting back Semi Ojeleye, I believe Rodney Hood. So two pieces that, I mean, may get on the floor for the Clippers, but it was mostly just about getting off of that $10 million for Serge Ibaka, especially because, you know, they have Hartenstein, they have Zubac, and then they have guys like Morris, now Covington, Batum, that can play some small ball five, so they really didn't need Ibaka around anymore. But back to the Kings real quick, along in that trade, it was a 14 trade, the Kings ended up sending Marcus Bagley to the Pistons, and I think they ended up having to send out a couple seconds to make this deal work. But in return, they got Dante DiVincenzo, which is not a full replacement for Tyrese Halliburton, but it's a pretty decent start. He's a feisty defender. He's not an amazing shooter, but he's a decent shooter, decent ball handler. So not a bad return there for them. Next, we'll talk about the Lakers real quick. The Lakers did not end up making a trade. They had floated around the combination of Horton Tucker and Kendrick Nunn and a first to see if there's anything out there. And I don't think there was anything good enough out there for them to really even consider making a move there. And then they looked at moving Russell Westbrook, but there wasn't anything attractive enough to do that. I know they were kind of in discussions with the Kings about Buddy Hield, but then Buddy Hield ended up getting sent to Indiana to get Sabonis. So Lakers just stood pat. I'm sure that they will be buyers on the buyout market. And then finally in the Pacific Division, right? No, two more teams. So next we'll talk about the Golden State Warriors. Oh, that's my... The Trailblazers in the Northwestern. That's why I'm off with teams. Okay. So, Golden State Warriors didn't end up making a trade. There was some news that maybe Wiseman was available, but the Warriors came out and said that they had zero plans on moving James Wiseman. They may look to add somebody in the buyout market, but I think they pretty much got the team that they want. And right now, the big focus is getting Draymond Green healthy and getting Klay Thompson acclimated back to playing basketball again. And then finally, in the Pacific Division, was the Phoenix Suns. And the Suns were actually pretty active during the deadline. They ended up sending Jalen Smith to the Pacers, got back Torrey Craig, who's just a really solid wing defender. He was with them last year in their playoff run before he signed with the Pacers during free agency. They used a trade exception that they had to go out and get Aaron Holiday from the Wizards, which gives them just more depth on the guard position and a guy that can really defend point guards at a very high level. All right, and so then we'll move to the Northwestern Division. We already covered the Trailblazers, so we'll finish off with the last four teams in it. Let's start with the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves ended up not making a move. I know that they were looking for maybe some help at the backup center, or maybe a good enough center to where they could move Towns to the power forward. I know that they're looking at possibly moving a guy like Torian Prince just to get off of that salary and maybe take back a guy that's better, but maybe on a slightly worse contract. The Oklahoma City Thunder only made one trade. They took in KZ Akpala from the Miami Heat. They ended up releasing him. So that was just a way for them to take on a little bit more salary. And help a team out in the Heat that was looking to get off of a salary and open up a roster spot. The Denver Nuggets, they did not make a deadline day trade. They ended up making their trade a couple weeks before, getting Bryn Forbes from the San Antonio Spurs, which gives them just a really good shooter off the bench. And all they had to give up in that trade was Bol Bol, who was a guy that just was not playing for them at all, and PJ Dozier, who's a guy that's out with a season-ending injury. And then last is the Jazz, which if you want to hear a more in-depth breakdown of what the Jazz did, you can listen to yesterday's podcast on the Jazz Talk podcast, where I go more in-depth into that. But they were part of that Blazers-Spurs trade. They ended up receiving Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who's just a young prospect for them that they're looking to develop. And then Juan Hernan Gomez, who's a player that if they keep him around, he's a depth piece, or they may end up just buying him out so that they can open up a roster spot. We'll cover the Eastern Conference, probably not tomorrow. I think we'll cover the Jazz's game against the Rockets tomorrow. But we'll cover that in the next couple days. But yeah, that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. And bye.